All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio here on Chaos Radio Austin and Liberty Radio Network. Our next guest is Ray McGovern. He was a CIA analyst for 27 years, is a co-founder and is on the steering group of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS, and of course, he writes for the heroic Robert Perry's website, consortiumnews.com, and he's available for hire to give a speech to people in your community. Welcome back to the show, Ray. How are you doing?
Thank you, Scott. Doing well.
Well, I'm really happy to have you here. I'm really glad that you're safe and sound here back from your adventure on the Audacity of Hope.
No less glad than I am, Scott.
I mean, seriously, I was worried about you. But I guess, you know, ironically, in a way, I'm glad they kept you in port and you didn't get sunk by the IDF out there on the high seas.
Well, frankly, I have mixed emotions about that. The gladness
I mean, you're
comes...
You're a pretty good swimmer, though, right?
Yeah, actually, I do swim all right. But I'm thinking of those young folks that were on our fabulous group of 37 passengers. You know, I looked at myself pretty carefully in those days before I decided to join the U.S. boat to Gaza, and I figured, hey, 71 really good years, why not? And then I looked as I got on the boat to these young folks in their 20s and 30s, and I said, wow, now that is courage. That is the audacity of hope. And so for their sake more than mine, I'm glad that we didn't come to the tender mercies of the Israeli Defense Forces, but there is a certain disappointment that we were unable to challenge that and perhaps even get through.
Yeah. All right. Well, now let's rewind a little bit and tell the story from the beginning for the people not familiar. What's this flotilla about? What were you doing there, and what exactly happened to you guys?
Yeah, well, I think I'd like to start simply by quoting Menachem Begin, the former Prime Minister of Israel, who admitted something very, very important and very neglected. It was in the New York Times, and it was 1982, and Begin had made a speech, and in that speech, he admitted that the 1967 war that Israel started was a carefully pre-planned war of aggression. I quote, "In June 1967, we had a choice," said Begin. New quote, "The Egyptian army concentrations in the Sinai approaches did not prove that Nasser was really about to attack us. We must be honest with ourselves. We decided to attack him," end quote. And that's a matter of record, okay? So all this justification that the Israelis had to do what they did in 1967 to broaden their borders to include Gaza, the Golan Heights, the West Bank, that all is poppycock. We have that from the Israeli Prime Minister. So what's happened in the interim, fast-forwarding to what happened in 2006, 2007, 2008, was that for some reason George Bush decided that he wanted to have an election in the Palestinian territories, and so he forced the issue, and guess what? Hamas won. Hamas is called a terrorist organization by the United States and the Europeans, and there are indeed some terrorists in Hamas, but Hamas won the election not because there's a bunch of terrorists in it, but because it had the reputation of setting up hospitals, social service agencies, in a word, of caring for the people in the Palestinian territories, both in Gaza and the West Bank, and they won handily. Their main foe, Fatah, having been entirely discredited by the corruption that was so evident that it turned the Palestinians' stomachs, okay?
Well, not only that, but the Israelis collect all the Palestinians' toll taxes and all those things, and they withheld all that money from Arafat so he couldn't buy up votes from his factions that he was used to bribing. And they didn't get their bribe, so they voted for Hamas, too.
That, too. And so, now, this was not the result that Condoleezza Rice or I don't know, I don't know who... You know, when you talk to George Bush, you don't want to cross him, right? At least the sycophants that are working for him. And Condoleezza Rice, when Bush said, we need an election, where we have an election? And Condoleezza said, well, we could do it in Gaza. Now, Rice, I don't know if she consulted anybody who knew something about the area, but she confessed after the election to have been appalled and shocked at the fact that Hamas won. And make a long story short, they did everything they could to deprive Hamas of the kind of economic help that they needed. They even started a coup, enlisting some disgusted or just the disgruntled types from Fitta. It's very much in the news. Vanity Fair had an excellent article on this. It all has to do with training and giving weapons to a faction of Fitta, which was going to face down Hamas and eliminate it. And guess what happened? Hamas learned about it beforehand, preempted the move, and took sole control of Gaza. So that's the background to all this. Then what happened? Well, then we had the blockade. Then we have Israeli officials openly stating that we are going to put Hamas and the Gazans on a very strict diet. In other words, we'll keep them just above the subsistence level so that no one can accuse us Israelis of genocide, but we're going to make it really, really tough for these Gazans. And so the blockade comes in. Now, who thinks that the blockade is legal? No one. No one except Israel. How do I know that? Because the State Department spokesperson, a woman three Fridays ago, was asked that question twice, face out. She was faced up to it, and she said, well, you know, is it legal or illegal? Well, I'm not an expert on the law of the sea. Hello, you're the State Department spokesman. The issue is whether the Israeli blockade of Gaza is legal or not, and the position of the United States, she punted. And so not even the United States government is willing to say that the blockade of Gaza is legal. That speaks volumes.
You gotta like that answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on law of the sea. Well, what are you standing there for? Do you have any experts in the State Department on law of the sea?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please go ahead.
No, we had Hillary Clinton. As we're sitting in Athens ready to put out into sea, she's accusing us of wanting to go into Israeli waters and warning us that we would suffer the consequences. This is the United States Secretary of State warning a group of American civilians who want to sail into Gaza that we'll be going into Israeli waters. Well, you know, there's no question. These are not Israeli waters. These are Gazan waters under any and every international law interpretation. We were sailing right out of Greece into Gazan waters from the high seas. Now, guess what? The U.S. government and Israel brought such pressure to bear on the poor Greeks. I say the poor Greeks because they are really hurting economically and need yet another bailout from the European.
Hold on 1 second before you get to the Greeks, because that's a very important point, and I want to let you finish that. But on the question of Hillary Clinton's statement about you guys, I believe I could paraphrase the most important parts of it pretty accurately, that she doesn't support any flotillas over there, going over there and provoking the Israelis in Israeli waters and putting them in a situation where they have to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And now, when I read that, I thought that amounted to a license to kill you guys, granted from the Secretary of State to the government of Israel. Is that just, you know, my overactive imagination? Ray, did you take that the same way that she was saying that anything that they do to you guys is okay, permission before the fact?
Well, all 37 of us and all 5 of our crew, and just as important, Scott, all 12 of the mainstream media that we had, and not only taking photos of us and interviewing us before we got on the boat, but having agreed to join us on the boat, okay? So these are gutsy people. And, you know, this mainstream, New York Times, a whole bunch of folks. And I suppose we can go back to that when the music
starts. Yeah, I'm sorry. We have to hold it right here. It's Ray McGovern, everybody, from ConsortiumNews.com, just back from Greece. He was trying to sail to Gaza with humanitarian supplies. Didn't quite work out. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and on the line is Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst turned peace activist and speech giver. He writes for consortiumnews.com. We reprint, I'm pretty sure, every bit of it at original.antiwar.com/McGovern. And the last two of them, in fact, the last three of them are about this topic, the Gaza flotilla, which he participated in to the degree that he got to participate. What was the deal, Ray? You guys got 50 yards out of port and then they turned you around or what?
No, actually, it was incredibly exhilarating. We got 10 nautical miles out to sea.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we could see the open seas, and some of us were deluded into thinking, wow, we might actually make it. And then the Greek Coast Guard boats came up and intercepted us, and our captain, to his Greek credit, held us for 2 hours as we confronted these Greek Coast Guard folks. And then next came the Ninja Turtle cops, the same kinds of uniforms and accessories worn by the Israeli Defense Forces as they rappelled down into the Mavi Marmara a short year ago, pointing their automatic weapons at us. A lot of us on the web, rather than hit the decks, we engaged them in conversations. They put down their weapons, but our captain finally realized that we were not going to get any farther, so we headed back to port and were impounded, or that is, the boat was impounded at a Greek Coast Guard thing. And the interesting thing, Scott, was that the Greeks were embarrassed. They were apologetic. They were on our side. They were holding their noses at the obeisance of their government to pressure from Israel and from the United States, realizing all the while that Papandreou didn't have much leeway. He needs another economic bailout, and this was the price that he paid. I don't condone it, but it's understandable, I suppose. But nevertheless, the Coast Guard, the Greek Coast Guard guys, and the Greek, the Athens police, who arrested us and detained us twice in the days following, were really, really embarrassed and treated us one time with kid's gloves, another time not so harshly, giving us water and really sort of shamefacedly booking us and taking our data and all that kind of stuff. So the Greeks themselves, you know, a lot of them don't have much love for the state of Israel because they know what it has come to represent. And even though the Greek president today is in Tel Aviv and the Israeli president is thanking him profusely for preventing all the boats of the flotilla from sailing, it's going to redound to the Greek government's, it's going to be bad for the Greek government because the Greeks are smart enough to know what's been happening here. And if they get through the economic crisis, which they almost surely will, there'll be a residue of shame at having to tuck tail and take the dictates of Israel and the United States for a country that is a seafaring nation that has always been out for the freedom of the seas and was quite willing to let us go had not the U.S. and Israel intervened.
Mm-hmm. And now I heard, but I never did follow up. I guess I should have Googled it myself, Ray, but wasn't it right that one of the French boats did get away and was on its way there or something?
Yeah, they intercepted that one too. As far as I know, all 10 of the boats now are impounded either in Greece or in Turkey, or in Crete, which is part of Greece, of course. And the order of the Minister of Civilian Protection, or whatever it's called in Athens, has said that no ship or boat bound for Gaza will be able to leave Greek waters. So what we have really in effect is that the 12-mile territorial limit of Israeli waters has now been extended westward to include the Aegean and the waters of Athens and Piraeus, which is quite a commentary. Some of our more imaginative passengers created these banners, one of which said, who rules the Aegean, Poseidon or Netanyahu?
Yeah.
So it was very, very sad, but, you know, I think that over the medium term, the long term as well, but people will see this. People like some of our passengers, Kathy Kelly, for example, who many, many people know to be a strong pacifist and always where people are being oppressed, whether it's Afghanistan or Gaza, For the Israelis to charge as they did, that people like Kathy Kelly had in her knapsack some sulfuric acid that she was about to pour on Israeli defense forces as they boarded our boats, or that she and others had pledged to draw blood from Israeli forces. I mean, even some of the Greek ministers, not Greek, but the Israeli ministers, were embarrassed enough to say, well, you know, this is going a little too far. Who says this? And it turned out to be the propagandists in Netanyahu's little cabinet there. So I think over the longer run, if what I call the fawning corporate media, present company accepted, of course, in this country, in the United States, if they play enough of the footage of what happened to us and see how our own leaders, you know, before I left, I was aware that I wasn't able to count much on any support from my old friends in intelligence or in the White House or the National Security Council, but I was really I was amazed when I heard from a very good source who had a close relationship with a very senior member of the National Security Council. They said, you know, that not only should you expect no protection from the United States, but that White House officials, and this is a quote, would be happy if something happened to us, end quote. They were, I was reliably told, quote, perfectly willing to have cold corpses of activists shown on American TV, period, end quote. Now, I thought that pretty extreme, but I know the sources here, and so I put it in this article. Craig Murray, the UK ambassador, one-time ambassador to Uzbekistan, who is a very strong justice person and a good friend of mine, saw what I wrote, and he wrote a little blog, and he said, you know, I know McGovern, and generally he's pretty, generally he's very reliable, but this seemed to be off the charts. And so I checked with my own sources in the Foreign Office, who in turn have very good contacts with the State Department, not the NSC, not the White House this time, but senior officials at the State Department, and they confirmed in almost as many words what McGovern had been told by his source. It really is quite amazing. And in commenting on this, you know, I couldn't resist, especially on the 4th of July, looking back at the people that founded our country, I couldn't resist remembering what George Washington himself warned in his farewell address. And I'll just read a sentence or two because I have it in these notes. A passionate attachment of one nation for another produces a variety of evils. Sympathy for the favorite nation facilitates the illusion of an imaginary common interest in cases where no real common interest exists. It infuses into one the enmities of the other and betrays the former into participation in the quarrels and wars of the latter without adequate inducement or justification. It also gives to ambitious, corrupted, or deluded citizens who devote themselves to the favorite nation facility to betray or sacrifice the interests of their own country. George Washington, 215 years ago, he, of course, was thinking about France at the time. We're thinking now about Israel. And the sooner our country faces up to this and realizes that what even the divine Petraeus has acknowledged, and that is our close identification with Israel and its policies and its oppression of the Palestinians, is not only a threat to our national security, it has accounted for innumerable deaths of our own soldiers, because this is why they hate us. It's not that they hate our democracy or our freedoms, they hate our policies, and they hate our very close identification with the policies of Israel.
Yeah, you know, George Washington, he could have been, you know, a time traveler or something. That statement couldn't be more apt when it comes to America's relationship with Israel. And, you know, turning a blind eye to the murders a year ago on the Mavi Marmara and, Hillary Clinton refusing to say a thing about it, Obama refusing to say a thing about it or do anything about it, that's one thing. But to give carte blanche, to give a license to kill like this, and then to even let you know that they actually would be happy if something bad happened to you guys. That is the White House is saying that. What does that mean? Dennis Ross? Did you ask who said that or what they were exactly they were talking about?
Yeah, I think I know the guy who said it. It wasn't Ross, but you know, we have very high senior counterterrorism officials, and you know, Kathy Kelly and I were both
right.
real
Hold
terrorists.
Right there. I shouldn't ask a question when the music's already playing. We'll be right back. It's Ray McGovern, everybody. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, now peace activist, writes for consortiumnews.com, and we republish all of it at antiwar.com. That's original.antiwar.com/McGovern. And where we left off before the break, we were talking about how, Ray, you were saying that you were told, well, here's how it reads in the article. Before leaving the United States, I was cautioned by a source with access to very senior staffers at the National Security Council that not only does the White House plan to do absolutely nothing to protect our boat from Israeli attack or illegal boarding, but that White House officials, quote, would be happy if something happened to us. They are, I am reliably told, perfectly willing to have the cold corpses of activists shown on American TV. And then, end quote, and then, Ray, you say you went and talked to another source at the State Department who agreed that this is the consensus at the White House, is let the Israelis do what they like to American and other humanitarian and peace activists from all over the world on their way trying to deliver humanitarian aid to the civilians of the Gaza Strip.
That's right, Scott, with one exception. I didn't have any real sources at high levels in the State Department. But a friend of mine, former UK Ambassador Craig Murray, did. And through his own foreign office sources, he checked on, he told me he found it a little extreme, Ray. Have you gone off the deep end here? Did they really say that? It is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Anyhow, he checked with his own sources, whom I know, and they're very senior foreign office folks at the UN and Washington. And he wrote in his own blog, Craig did, that that's what they said as well. It was almost exactly in the same words. And so this shows, you know, that not only is Hillary Clinton quite content to see me beaten up right 12 yards in front of her, but because of Israeli sensitivity, she's quite willing to have worse happen to me and to my fellow travelers.
You just can't cooperate with that lady, can you?
You know, I understand she bakes good chocolate cakes. So, you know, my grandmother always said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything. So I have to add that she does reportedly bake good chocolate cakes.
Yeah, well, I would be surprised if that doesn't just mean that her taxpayer-funded chef makes good chocolate cakes. But anyway.
One has to try to keep some semblance of humor in all this stuff because it's pretty grim when you come right down to it. But I see justice moving here. I really do. I see a new sensitivity to what's really going on. And, you know, if you take five steps back, Scott, you have to look at Israel as feeling itself in a very, very a much worse strategic situation this year than this time last. Look what's happened. Because of the attack on the Mavi Marmara, killing nine passengers, including one U.S. citizen, as well as the Turkish citizens, their relationship with Turkey, which used to be very, very close, has deteriorated. And that's one reason, incidentally, why they've cultivated contacts with Greece to counterbalance that, to have some sort of friend in the Aegean. More important, of course, is that 70 million, count them, 70 million people to their southern border in a place called Egypt. They no longer can count on a co-opted fellow named Mubarak to do their bidding, to act as their sort of subordinate. In other words, Mubarak was paid off by the United States, given half as much as Israel is given every year, and that amounts to $3 billion for Israel, and if my math is right, $1.5 billion for Mubarak, he's gone. And guess what? Those 70 million people in Israel care about the Palestinians. one of the first things they did was try to open at least their side of the border, the land border, the passenger border at Rafah. So here's Israel looking out at the world, and they're saying, wow, Turkey has gone as an ally, the same with Mubarak. And on the anniversary of the expulsion of 750,000 Palestinians from their own Palestine to make way for the Israeli state in 1948, guess what happened? All kinds of Palestinians congregated on the borders of Israel from Syria, from Lebanon, and other places, even from Egypt, and some of them got across peacefully, you know, not shooting their way across. Some of them did get shot. But, you know, this is a real, real threat to Israel. And instead of coming to their senses and saying, look, the only way we're going to survive over the medium, much less the long term, is by making the kinds of concessions that will permit some sort of equitable situation. Instead of them saying, wow, how are we going to deal with this new threat, which is a nonviolent protest of great proportions, not only from our borders, but from the southern border of Egypt. Instead of doing all that, what are they doing? They're striking out, getting people like Hillary Clinton to disavow her own citizens, lest they threaten Gaza, you know, with letters from constituents. That's another thing. We were afraid to bring Band-Aids or packages or anything. You know why? Because there's a law that could have put us in jail. You know what the law is? It has to do with giving material assistance to terrorism. And Hamas is classified as a terrorist organization, and so we were reluctant, on the face of it, to bring anything other than letters of support, and we had thousands of them. Now, I come from a long tradition of letter carriers. My Irish grandfathers were both letter carriers, and so I felt, you know, hey, this is not only consistent with my feelings about justice, consistent with my feeling about biblical justice, where I think my theology is all about who God is and how God feels when little people get kicked around. I think that's the whole thing for me. It's also consistent with my Irish heritage, where my forebears who left Ireland after the potato famine, where they were cooped up just like the Gazans, came in and they became letter carriers. And so to be a letter carrier felt really, really good, felt consistent with my heritage.
That's cool, man. Got a chance to honor your ancestors while you were at it over there.
Yeah.
Well, now, here's the thing about this is, you know, you say that the change, and this is the change that we need, right, is even just the change in the narrative and how easy it is to convince people that the poor Israelis are occupied all these years by those evil Palestinians who just won't leave them alone and whatever. And, you know, I wonder how much that's really beginning to change. It seems like efforts like this are really, you know, it's not anywhere in the world where people have it confused other than the United States where it really counts, you know, and maybe in Israel.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason I think that there is ample cause for optimism is because before we got on that boat, and, you know, we had solicited all kinds of help from mainstream media outlets, and the incredibly gifted people, mostly in New York, but in California as well, people of Jewish extraction from New York, people who feel really strongly about justice for everyone, not just Jewish people, people that I grew up with in the Bronx for 22 years, I was just so comfortable in their presence and so edified by their intelligence and by their willing to make this thing work. Now, we got, so by virtue of their by their flexibility and their contacts, they got two reporters from the New York Times, two reporters from Reuters, two from CBS, Al Jazeera, I said Reuters already, Democracy Now!, and a couple others on our boat. Now, this doesn't mean taking pictures of us. This means facing the same vicissitudes, the same dangers that Hillary Clinton and others warned us about at the hands of the Israeli Defense Forces. We sailed forth with these folks. That's why there's such good video. We had upstream right there.
Right, like, and in 2008, they had a CNN reporter who was on the boat with them. And
yeah, so this was
what the Israelis had done, yeah.
Yeah, and this is going to help because the New York Times guy did a really good report, but that's not the end of the story.
Right. Well, we'll have to continue it next time. Thanks, Ray.
Most welcome.
It's Ray McGovern, everybody. ConsortiumNews.com. Original.antiwar.com/McGovern.